So what is up, guys? Welcome to Late Night Shots, episode 13. And today we'll be talking about the Michigan preview coming up for the 2020-2021 season. And today we're joined by a special guest. So what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? I'm Joey Ryan. I wrestle in Hanover area. I'm going to be attending the University of Pittsburgh in the fall. I was a state qualifier my junior year, three-time district runner-up, four-time regional qualifier. Got it?
Yeah. A fellow Hawkeye of mine from my high school as well, a teammate and a captain, Joey Rally. Welcome on the show. I know you're a fan of the boys in blue.
Yeah, go blue.
Your Michigan has always been your go-to team. So I figured I couldn't pick a better guest to have on our Michigan podcast than you. So let's just get in a little bit about you wrestling. So let me start off with how old were you when you started wrestling for the Hawkeyes? Let's just get a little bit of information on your career from then on.
I was 5 years old when I started wrestling in kindergarten. I weighed about 38 pounds. And the lowest weight class then was only 42, so I was a little outweighed, but I held my own.
All right, so let's just talk about some of your accomplishments before you got into high school. I know you were up until your high school, you definitely peaked, but before you got on the varsity team, what else did you do?
I qualified for like PJWs, the Pennsylvania Junior Wrestling States, a couple times there. Our biggest tournament, like when I was in elementary, was just the Penn League, which is like our little like conference around. Won that twice. And then in junior high, I placed in our conference tournament and also qualified for PJW States.
So you were looking dominant as a young stud coming in freshman year. You know, you got runner-up in districts, and there you go. You're in the regionals as a freshman. So let's just get just a little bit on how was that regional setting as a freshman?
Well, regionals is always intimidating. We go down, like, out of our element, like, as District 2, we go down to District 4 and wrestle mostly their kids in the same place that they wrestle their district tournament. So they're kind of used to it. It's kind of like a home ad advantage for them. But I kind of felt more comfortable than I thought I was going to be going in there. So it wasn't as bad. Lost a couple close ones.
So your freshman year, you went down there and did you go 2-0?
2-0, yeah. I lost both matches 4-2.
You know, an unsuccessful freshman year, your freshman going into sophomore season, how did you prepare yourself after, you know, a rough end of the season? I mean, I'm sure you were still proud to call yourself a regional qualifier after taking those tough losses as a freshman.
Yeah, I started wrestling a little bit more in between there. I knew I did pretty good, but I was going to have to do better if I wanted to make it through regionals, even, like, win districts, anything like that. So I just, like, wrestled over the summer more, tried to get into a couple tournaments.
Yeah, and so you're a sophomore. You're back in the district tournament. You know, you suffered another tough loss in the finals, right? Yeah, you runner up again here.
Yeah, I was runner up again to the same kid. Lost 3-1 freshman year, and then 3-2 that year.
All right, so you're back at regionals. You're back again. How'd it go this time?
This time was actually a little rougher. I think my bracket was a little bit better there. But I, again, barely lost my first match. I think it was like 8-5, 8-6, something like that. And then I got pinned in my second match, but it wasn't – I didn't think I was pinned yet. But regardless, I was pinned and I was eliminated there too.
All righty. That takes us to your junior season. After another 2-0 showing, you go back, you come back, and you're at the district tournament. And let's just hear about your district tournament.
I was seeded second, I think. I came in, There's a kid that was out on injury all season who came back just for the district tournament. Ran through the other side of the bracket. I lost in the semifinals. I got thrown by a kid who I beat a couple times earlier in the year. Thrown for 4 points, lost 5-2, 6-3, something like that in the semis. Wrestled back, got third, so I still qualified for regionals for that.
So now you're at regionals again after, you know, your worst, actually, surprisingly enough, your worst performance was a third place finish at districts, which is, you know, a lot of people would be proud of that to get that. But for you, that was actually your worst showing. Your worst showing at districts, you're down at regionals. What are you thinking now?
Well, I looked at my bracket the week before, like kind of seeing where the district four kids were finishing at their districts. Kind of set up my own kind of bracket in my head. And I was looking at it, and I knew I had a good chance, probably better chance than in years past. But going down there as the three seed from District 2, everybody was looking at it like there was no chance. I lost my first match again, like usual. I think I lost by major decision in that one. So then I go to the next day, you only wrestle one match Friday night. So I wake up Saturday morning. I weigh in. I'm walking out of weigh-ins, and I see a fortune cookie on the ground. Like, not a fortune cookie, but just the wrapper. And I go down, I pick it up and read it. And it says, a man may fail many times, but he is not a failure until he quits. So I just left it there because I was like, I don't know whose this is. I went back, told my coach about it. He said, go get it. So then I ran all the way back to the locker room where, like, weigh-ins were. Picked it up, brought it back to him. He took a picture of me holding it. And then he said, put it somewhere that'll be with you on the mat. So then I put it in my, I'm not sure whether I had it in my sock or like just in between my sock and my shoe, but that's where it was. And it stayed there. I went out, wrestled my first consolation match. It was a little bit of a back and forth match. I could have scored a couple points, but missed the opportunities. The kid was a hammer on top. I was down 2-1 because I think he got a reversal after I was up 1-0. About 30 seconds left, it really didn't look like anything was going to change, and that's just how that year was going to end too. I got a reversal with about 10, 11 seconds left, won the match 3-2. So that was my first ever regional victory, and one more win would send me to States.
All right, so you just won that match. You're hype. I'm sure Griff was out of the seat, ready, you know, ready for you to come there. So now you're going into your next match. You know, it's that match that you've been waiting for, you know, the past 2 years where you couldn't get there. Now it's your chance. So let's talk about that, how that match went.
Yeah, so I ended up having to wrestle the kid who won District 4's districts the week before. So he came in as the second seed in the bracket. Got upset in the semifinals and dropped down to the consolation semifinals. So I was wrestling him in that match. As you know, the first period's shorter in the consolation, so that 1 minute went by real quick.
Wait, you have different times for?
Yeah, 1:30.
Yeah, so like in the championship rounds, it's 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But then when you go to the consolations, the first period's only 1 minute.
Is that only in Pennsylvania or?
I'm not sure. That's the only way I've ever known it, so I guess so.
Because I've never seen that before, except for, like, summer tournaments.
All right. Yeah. So, Joe, you're in the match. What's going through your head?
I just knew I had to get it done. So, first period goes by, no points scored. And second period, I'm on bottom. He's riding me tough. He's cranking my shoulder. Going, like, as far as he could before the ref stopping him with a power half and legs. I think he got me for a couple backs. And then I reversed him. So at this point it was 5-2 because I think he had a takedown before that. We started neutral that period. So it's 5-2. End of that period. Next period goes, he takes bottom. I just knew I had to like turn him to either get three or pin him. I started running a half right side. He wouldn't go. So I switched to the left, grabbed the leg and just lifted it, flipped him over, and then stuck him with about a minute left.
So you're in. You did it. I saw how happy you were, your reaction. I saw Griff. I saw how happy he was. You know, at that point, there you go. You're a state qualifier at that point, right? You're in this for the contest.
I got up, whipped my headgear off pretty much, like just out of excitement, shook his hand, and then walked over and just walked into a giant hug pretty much between all my coaches and my brother.
Yeah, you know, and then you're in the consolation finals. Let's just hear how that match went. I know it didn't quite go your way, but you know, you're still a state.
Yeah, I wrestled the same kid that majored me the first match of the tournament, and then I'm pretty sure he majored me again. But that was the only kid I lost to in that bracket, so that's pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, so you did it. You're finally, you know, you finally get to call yourself a PIAA state qualifier. So that year also was the year DJ Erickson, our other teammate who has since graduated, he was there. Do you think that helped you having your teammate there behind you and with you the whole time you were wrestling?
Certainly, yeah. Because I was on the same team as DJ pretty much my whole life for the most part. So seeing him qualify for states twice already, I was like, I want to be there with him one of these times. So that kind of helped me drive to get there.
So you're in the consolation finals. You take a tough loss, but you're still a state qualifier. Let's just hear, before we wrap this up, you're down at Hershey. And obviously, you know, your first time at Hershey, I'm sure you had the butterflies in your stomach. But you were still, again, there with DJ. He was there. You know, he's been there multiple times. I'm sure that could definitely helped you a little bit. So, let's just talk about your experience at Hershey and how that went.
It was just a great time all around. I was glad I got to experience that. Something I'll never forget. Couple tough matches there, but that's natural. It's states. There's no easy matches there.
So. Yeah, so you end up going 0-2 at state. Going into your senior year, you know, you had that great year, that great season, your junior season. So, let's just talk about you're going to districts again. Going to districts again your senior year. Let's just talk about how that went for you.
Yeah, I was finally seated first at districts. This is the first time ever I was seated first. Made it to the finals again for the third time. And then lost again in the finals by 1 point. So
Joey, you just that's can't catch a break, kid.
Where the three-time runner-up comes from, yeah.
Can't catch a break, but so you're still down in Williamsport again. How'd that go your senior year compared to your junior year?
Well, my first match at regionals, I wrestled the soon-to-be state champion at 120 pounds. So he tech-fouled me in the second period. And then I was hurting pretty bad going into the consolations. I wrestled a kid I probably should have beat. Barely lost to him, and then that was the career.
That's your career. So can we get a career record total? I think you had a great career record.
I think 113 wins is the final total.
Obviously, you know, that's a great career total record, especially, you know, you had some great accomplishments. And, we asked Caden Henschel this yesterday. If you could say, who was the hardest person you wrestled ever?
Obviously, I got to go with Sheldon Seymour. He was the state champion that I said I wrestled. I wrestled him first match at regionals then last year.
Tough kid.
My toughest match, definitely.
Tough kid. Two-time Pennsylvania State champ. If you don't know who Sheldon Seymour is, committed to the Lehigh Mountain Hawks, Division One. You're going to see him at 125. Eventually, you know, great wrestler, tough kid.
You got to do a Lehigh preview.
I definitely can see that.
Never do one of those.
We will. I actually did contact Sheldon Seymour today, waiting for him to get back to me for the Lehigh preview. So I'm on it.
So we want to pass this hot podcast back to the host now, or like?
Yeah, go ahead. Now we're going to start the Michigan preview.
Because I had no idea what to ask him, honestly. Like, Yeah. Okay, so today we'll be discussing the Michigan Wolverines and what their outlook is for the 2020-21 season. Basically, they have a couple studs coming back out of the Olympic red shirts, as in Logan Mossa, Miles Amin, and Stevan Mechich being the main ones. You have a guy like Jelani Embry, who's moving up from 184 to 197. You have Mason Paris coming off a phenomenal season last year. And you have a couple other guys who are making the lineup for the first time. So, yeah, we'll probably get it started. Did you just leave?
He went to the bathroom.
All right, we can talk about this.
Yeah.
So, at 125, ranked number 18, coming into the season, we have Jack Medley. So, you're the Michigan manager. Yeah. Just tell us a little bit about him.
I mean, tough wrestler, D1 wrestler, obviously. I actually think that there's a possibility that he might not be the starter the whole season. They have another guy that's going to be at 125, Kurt McHenry from Virginia. I think he won Escape the Rock a time or two.
Yeah, I think I've seen him.
Yeah, in high school he was ranked number one at 126, I think, for 2 years in a row. So, I mean, there's depth there. So, either way they go, I don't think it's a bad decision there. They're going to win a lot of matches for them.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And obviously, like, the 125-pound weight class hasn't been the strongest in the Big Ten for this time, like, except for Spencer Lee. He's just an exception.
Spencer Lee, and then it's
and that's why his bonus point is, like, he tech falls and pins so many people because the Big Ten just isn't that strong, honestly. A lot of your guys come from the EIWA, as in Brandon Patesol, Pat Glory, and even Vito's in the EIWA. That's going to be the strongest division, honestly, this year, having the 2, 3, and 4 guys in the country. And last year you had Nick Piccinini in the Big 12. So, like, Big 10 pretty much belongs to Spencer Lee. So if he can claim – do you think he claims a bid to the national tournament?
Who is that? Medley?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to easily place top 4, I believe.
In the Big 10?
Yeah.
I think they have like 5 or 6 bids at 125. Actually, no, 125 went down. I think they might only have 4 bids to national tournament, 125 in the Big Ten.
I think they'll make nationals.
Because I think they're going to have more in the EIWA.
I mean, that's only fair, it seems, because they seem to have more.
Yeah, of course.
Better. Yeah, I definitely see him getting a bid for the national tournament. I see him pulling maybe a top 20 seed, maybe a little bit below 24, 23 seed.
I think he wins a match, honestly, maybe 2. Because, you know, Michigan, if they do win the Big Ten, which I think they will at this point, I think they're going to have the most hype running into the tournament. I think they're – like, just winning that one more match is going to boost your team points up so much.
Yeah.
Which guys like Iowa and Iowa really doesn't have a weak spot, but they have some guys who are a little bit inconsistent. And the same with Penn State, too, so – I think if Michigan can close that gap there, maybe an Iowa guy or Penn State guy gets knocked off in the first round, which you've seen happen before.
Yeah.
So that could really boost your team scores up a lot.
Especially with Penn State most likely starting Robert Howard at 125.
Yeah. I know. I think Robert Howard's a wild card also.
Yeah.
Howard could very well come out there and compete with Spencer Lee, for all we know.
Yeah. For all we know, yeah.
Yeah. Howard isn't the greatest on bottom as far as I've seen, so that might be a problem. You know, against a guy like Spencer Lee. But he's very dominant from his feet. But decision-making-wise, I really don't know. Because I've seen him go for some risky stuff just for, like, no real reason in particular. Yeah. That's how he lost his state final, really. His junior year to Sammy Alvarez, who's at Rutgers. He basically went for a headlock 10 seconds into the match. Almost had it. And ended up losing in overtime 6-4. You know, and he's the defending state champ, so.
Yeah, so. Anything could happen.
Yeah. He's very capable of beating anybody anytime. He had the number one ranking heading to that tournament. Alvarez was ranked about 7th. And, yeah, you know, they split matches that season, though. So it was obviously expected to be, like, a competitive match.
Close match, yeah.
Just nobody really thought Alvarez was going to come out on top because Howard dominated Mitch Polito in his sophomore year, and he lost to Antonio Menino his freshman year in sudden victory. So he was obviously a very accomplished guy. Like, those are all – D1 wrestlers, he's wrestled every year.
Yeah.
And he's dominated a lot of them. So I think Jack Medley, if he does start, I think he wins the match in Nationals, probably drops the next two. But I think he wins at least one.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So we'll go up to 133, which is what I think most important guy for Michigan right now, which is going to be Stevan Micić.
Right. Yeah, I believe this is going to make or break. Obviously, one guy doesn't make a team, but if he's wrestling, he's going to elevate everybody else on their team.
100%. I think he's the most technical and consistent guy at 133 as we've seen so far. You know,
hasn't had the best luck in – when it comes to Nationals, but yeah. I think if he's wrestling the whole season, this will be his year.
Yeah. I think last national tournament was just Suriano's match to win, you know. I think Suriano versus Micić should have been the finals. I don't think Dayton Fix deserved the one seed. I really don't know how that works. He got it.
Yeah.
Micić kind of forfeited the Big Ten finals. That's a record. Big Ten semis. Yeah. Fletcher got the 5 seed and Mick Phillippe the 4, even though Phillippe beat Fix. It was just a whole match.
That's what Phillippe beat Fix. That's what I was going to say.
I think they might have honestly went on the fact that, like, the most hype was going to be between Suriano and Fix, even though those two weren't necessarily the best guys in the bracket.
No, I think the two best guys were, like you said, on the same side there.
Yeah. That was the hardest bracket, too, because, like, you have guys like Lee Zach and Tariq Wilson, honestly, that people really underrate. Like, Lizak made national final, too. And he's, like, having 3 national finalists on the same side of the bracket. And Suriano had to wrestle. Yeah. The dominance that he showed was insane, too. He pinned Ethan Lizak. Like, guy's no slouch, too.
Yeah.
And he got out within 2 seconds from bottom position, which was really unheard of against a guy like that. Again, at 133, again, it's still going to be really stacked. We have Sebastian Rivera, maybe, depending on where he goes. They said he might go 141. I doubt it's going to happen, honestly, at this point. We have Roman Bravo Young, of course, Austin DeSanto, Sammy Alvarez, Mickey Phillippe, Austin Gomez, Montori Bridges. There's a lot of guys that can really be in the mix here.
Ray Levis, of course. Moshe Schwartz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you guys both that Stevan Micić, if he does wrestle a full season, this will be his year to win a national title. I just feel like I agree with you that he is the most technical wrestler, 133, where you see a guy like DeSanto or RBY taking these risky moves. I feel like he'll kind of shut that down and just use just classic wrestling on these guys that are.
Yeah, I think Fix, Rivera, and Micić are the most technical guys, but I think Micić has, like, the best ability to finish, honestly, matches.
Yeah.
Because you see Rivera, like, each of them have, like, their Achilles heel, if you were to say, right? Because you see Rivera, he was basically undisputedly the best guy in the bracket heading into that tournament last year. And then you see a guy like Jack Mueller, who's very good on top with legs, just expose him, right?
Yep.
I think if Stevan Micić gets the 1 seed, you have Rivera at the 2, or Dave Fix at the 3, switch those any way you really want to. I think that match is going to go to Fix, right? Because Rivera, I think, might get exposed again. But I think Micić beats Fix, and Rivera pretty much beats anybody else in the league class. Yeah. It really all depends on who has that. Because one bad draw, even though you're the best guy in the weight class, like, Suriano almost lost a good amount of his matches, honestly. And he lost a couple just because of that pure path. He had the hardest path to get into the finals, too.
Yep.
I think it all depends on who really gets what seed. And I see the 1 seed really making a – I think the 1 seed dominates their way to the finals just based on having – it's going to be either Sammy Alvarez or RBY at the 4 seed, depending on how the tournament plays out.
Yeah.
That's really it. I think a big sleeper guy right here is going to be Mickey Phillippe from Pitt that people really aren't talking about, and Austin Gomez from Iowa State, who people aren't talking about either.
No,
Phillippe
made some noise when he beat Fix, obviously, being what I think he was only lost in the regular season 2 seasons ago.
I think he only had 2 losses, and one was to Suriano and one was to Mickey Phillippe, 5-4, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think another guy, Austin Gomez, of course, a Greco dude, beat Austin DeSanto. He can hit those big moves and finish them. He pinned Robin Bravo Young at the Southern Scuffle. and his first loss of the season was to Dayton Fix 5-4 in the Sudden Scuffle Finals. Again, yeah, a guy you really can't count out. Kind of fell off during the end of the season, you know. But I think he makes a big comeback.
Nah, yeah, he's in every match.
Again, guy people really aren't talking about. Of course, we don't know if Nick Sirianni is coming back. He might be coming back at 25. I really think he's completed his quest. Some stuff went on Rooker, so I really don't think he really wants to go back there after that. You know, I think Sammy Alvarez is going to be the guy. I think Alvarez can really make a huge push this season because he went to overtime with Roman Bravo Young as a true freshman. I think he beats him next time that match happens. People have their own opinions on that.
No fear.
Yeah, 100%. I think he has the confidence now, too, because he ended off his high school career with a bang. He was a four-time state finalist, ended up losing to Anthony Clark, who's a Princeton commit, twice. I remember he lost to another guy. Or I don't even think he made the final stretch. He placed third, I'm pretty sure, right? I think he was in wake-ups with Pat Glory and JoJo Aragon in it. He placed third in that weight class, and then he made the finals, lost to Anthony Clark, got hit with the banana split. He lost both of them by, I think, 1 to 2 points, right? He was just a guy like he couldn't beat. Anthony Clark's a three-time state champ. You know, he could have been a four-timer, but stuff happens. And you see him going to the finals against a guy like Rod Power, and people are severely doubting him. But he's like, this is my last chance to get it done. And he gets it done in dramatic fashion, overtime, 6-4 over the number one guy in the country, wins outstanding wrestler, has all that momentum going to college, and he pulled off a great freshman season too. So I think he really keeps that going, you know. I think we would have seen him beat Roman Bravo Young in Nationals too, and just in my opinion. I'm from Jersey, so I'm really going to be a little bit biased about that.
Yeah.
I think he was Rivera's weight class the last year, and he showed dominance over everybody. But I think with Miechich back is going to test them a lot.
Yeah, I think so too. Because
overall, I'm going to say Miechich is going to go third. But it all depends on like what happens leading up to that, you know. Say if Mason Perry, say if they don't always start at 125, right? Remember last year they started heavyweight, right?
Yeah.
So they could end off with Bo Nickel versus Colin Moore, which is – Bo Nickel was obviously the best guy in the NCAA at that point, especially coming off a bunch of tough losses. I think if they start in a weight class with – you know, they just randomly start like 184, 197. Mason Parrish makes the finals, right?
Uh-huh.
He somehow beats Karkliet or whoever makes the finals, or Gable in that case. They have a lot of momentum coming into the next match, right? And that could push – Miechich, you know, all really depends how the team morale is doing. That's why Penn State is like, remember the year like Murderers Row? That's how it happens. Like, it started with Zane Rutherford, who's extremely dominant on his feet. Jason Nolf was extremely dominant. Chenzo was amazing on top and could pin people, but he would win his match by small margins. Same with Mark Hall. Bo Nickel would pull those big moves in 197, where they would have Shakur Rashid or Anthony Kassar at that point. It was like, you know, it would give them that momentum to, like, maybe push them to win a match that they shouldn't have. Like, because you saw, obviously, the legendary Penn State versus Ohio State duel. It came down to that, and it came down to Anthony Kassar getting the upset win over Colin Moore. And then I think the more impressive match is Nick Neville's not getting majored by Kyle Snyder. He had two takedowns with Snyder, had Snyder on his back, too, you know. I think if Michigan can put together that environment in the room this year, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with by anybody and be like Iowa. Because Iowa's honestly they've been able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
I just think that if you saw their duel after Marinelli lost, they just died, really.
Oh, yeah. It went downhill real quick after that.
I think Penn State would have won that duel if they had Kassar, you know?
Definitely.
Because if you think about how it's supposed to go, Chenzo upsetting Marinelli really doesn't matter if Hall loses to Kemmer. Those matches could have gone either way, you know?
Yeah.
It's obviously a huge turning point. RBY getting the win over Austin DeSanto was huge too, especially injury default. The way that was going, I think Anthony Kassar would major or pin Cassiope. Just my take on it.
I think so too.
But you put in a freshman like Neville's, you know. You get what happens there. He didn't have a bad season. He didn't have a great one.
No.
He looked like a little bit of a freshman jitters, honestly, the entire season. I think he comes back because he was used to just, like, bodying everybody at the other levels. That's really – I saw a big downgrade, honestly, when he got to college. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we and Joey saw him training, like, in the way he was looking, like, in the summer. And, honestly, I had him being a top four heavyweight at that point. He looked like he was in great shape. He looked like he was ready to wrestle in college. And, like you said, he honestly did have a disappointing season. I think a lot of people, you know, saw that last name, saw how he was in high school and were really expecting him to come and give everyone a run for their money. And he did it.
Yeah. After I saw him taking, like, I saw pure dominance beginning of his red shirt. And then he was like, oh, okay, these guys, like, he's winning 4-1 of guys like John Spalding from Edinburgh. And those matches really, it's just, like, I went back and looked at the way he wrestled in high school. He didn't have real technique or anything. He just bodied kids, you know? And then he took a huge loss to Colton Schultz at the Doc B, which I think is his only one career loss.
Yep.
He's only a 3-time Doc B champion, and that was the year after Colton Schultz moved up from 220. So, again, that's huge, you know? And that just shows how the weight class could change with Colton Schultz coming in.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right, so let's get back on topic with Michigan, you know?
Yeah, that takes us to 141.
Where we have ranked number 39 in the country, we have Cole Madden. So, Joey, go ahead.
This is another weight class where I think they have, like, a little bit of depth, a couple of different guys that I think can fill the spot throughout the season. Even Cole's brother, I think it's Drew Madden.
Mm-hmm.
He's also decent enough they can both wrestle here and there.
Drew Madden at 125. Oh, your audio just got messed up.
Yeah, your audio cut out. I can't hear you. We can't hear you, Joey. I don't know if.
Give us a second, guys. We got some technical difficulties. Did you change anything with your thing? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, we're good. Back. All right. Repeat. I just didn't hear that last part. Just start over with I said wasn't Drew Madden 25 or something like that. Yeah.
Last year they were both listed at 141.
I remember seeing a Madden dude at 120. Who's the 125 in last year?
From last year?
Yeah.
Medley wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, Medley wrestled 125 last year.
I think
not like this year, last year. I mean, like, the year before that.
Oh,
I think it was Drew Madden.
It might have been. Yeah, it was. Cause
Drew Madden, so he just kind of moved past 125?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. I mean, because of Nietzsche, she'd have to.
Yeah.
I think Nietzsche at 141 may be interesting if that were to happen, you know?
Yeah. Again, I don't see it happening because you have Yachty and Nick Lee at 141.
So I think he's better than Nick Lee. If he moves up the weight class, he's better than Nick Lee.
They still have Silva at 33 then, if Mitchich was up at 41.
Yeah, but I think Madden could move down.
Probably.
Because, you know, he's making the move from 25 to 41. I don't think he's be cutting that much where he can't move down.
No, probably not.
And Mitchich just goes where he wants, honestly.
Yeah. No one's gonna.
Because the other guys are there to just get as many points as possible. He's there to go for a shot to win the thing, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, depending on the season he's having, he can move up to 141 right before nationals and just take that guaranteed third, basically. If he's not having the greatest season,
if he really wanted to.
If he's having it, they can put him at 33. Hopefully, he wins the thing. I have my final pick at Stevan Mitchell going third in the NCAA behind. I have Sebastian Rivera winning. I think he's had a great career, but this is the time to put it together. And I have Dayton Fix going second.
I don't know. I can't get behind Rivera.
You can
at nationals. It depends if he runs into Mitchich. I think he
beats Mitchich. I just don't think. I think him versus Fix is a toss up.
When they wrestled two seasons ago in the dual meet, Mitchich just looked dominant against Rivera.
I mean, you also have to consider Rivera's bumping up a whole weight class.
Yeah, that's true too. So I guess if they're at the same weight, then
it's like four of those points really came off of Rivera's attacks.
Yeah, but that's kind of Mitch's style sometimes too.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
he just doesn't. His balance is incredible.
I think it really all depends, again, like on who gets who. I think anybody really except for Miocic and Fix, Rivera dominates. I think Fix pretty much dominates anybody except for Miocic. And Miocic dominates anybody really except for Rivera and RBY and DeSanto. It just really all depends on who gets what draw.
We talked about
this. Because I think if Mickey Phillippe and Dayton Fix meet again, you know.
We talked about this when I made my pick. I did pick Stevan Miocic winning it at 133. I just think he's coming back off that redshirt year, and he looked good for training for the Olympics, and I think he comes back and just puts together a killer season. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he wrestles from day one, first match to nationals, I don't see anybody stopping him.
I think a big guy we're sleeping on is going to be Jordan Decatur from Ohio State, who we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have the greatest season. It just – he had a really good season, but it just looked like the top guys, like Gross, RBY, and DeSanto that season just pretty much dominated him. But he did have some good wins. It did look like he was putting up a fight. He just couldn't, not give up bonus points, which is something you're going to have to learn. Like, you saw then guys like Sammy Sasso also, doing a little bit dumb things. Like when you needed to like cutting guys at the wrong time and all that stuff.
Yeah, just stuff they need to tune a little bit.
Yeah. Because when you're down 5-0, you don't want to be just taking a bunch of bad shots, just giving up points off all those. You maybe have to stall a little bit, just not give up a major for your team. And I think if these guys can do that, where they need to, you know, and get the bonus points where they need to, they're going to be extremely dominant.
Yeah,
definitely.
So. Oh, we already mentioned Cole Martin. We'll just get back to talking to him now. I mean, I think he should be ranked a little bit higher than 39. I think if all goes well, he ends off the season as a top 20 guy. Because 141 doesn't have too many dominant guys at it, you know. They have Max Mir and Nick Lee and Yanni obviously at the top, basically solidify themselves away from anybody else. But, you know, you still have some other guys coming into the mix.
Yeah, I think if he wrestles – he wrestles well, then definitely break into the top 20 there.
Because right now he's basically just an average dude. There's nothing special, honestly, there.
No.
You know, all these Michigan guys are pretty tough, you know. If the season's going good, momentum's going their way again.
Yeah.
Because you have Miocic right before him.
He might also
Snappers inclined to do better.
He might also be a product of the environment there.
Yeah.
Where everybody's wrestling back good. In the room,
Again, you see that with Iowa and Penn State also. If Michigan can basically replicate what they're doing, I think.
You know, they have him ranked 39, which would mean he wouldn't qualify for the national tournament. I do think we'll see Cole Madden in the national tournament.
I think he qualifies and he wins one, maybe two matches, depending on the seed.
I agree 100%. I see him being a blood round guy.
I don't see that. I see him making the round 24, maybe 16. Blood rounds, I think blood rounds a little bit too high for him at the time being. You know?
He'll win a match maybe two, but he's not going to make too much noise.
You know, maybe if he gets on fire during the season or something like that. Because nobody really thought Cameron Caffey was going to do as well as he did. Right? And now he's ranked fifth in the country now, you know? He's ranked seventh in the country now. We'll jump right into 149. There wasn't much to say really about Cole Martin. Some of these guys are pretty average dudes, and some of them were guys that could really make some moves, and other of them are just the studs coming back. So 149, ranked 12th in the country right now, we have Caden Storr.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be their guy at 49, looking at their roster. They have depth at 41. He was 41 last year. I think he'll move up pretty well into the 49 weight class. I don't think he'll ever break the top 10, but he'll be right around there, up to around 15, I think, pretty consistently all year.
So what I'm going to say about this is 149 has lost a lot of people. The main comparator to Pat Lugo, but that really doesn't matter because they have Ironman coming in, right? I think Ironman's without a doubt the top guy at 149. In my opinion, some people argue Sasso. I think he dominates Sasso. and then Sasso second, and Austin O'Connor from UNC third, right? I think really any other spot could be taken by a top 12 guy.
Yeah.
I think Brock Mahler from Missouri is there, if he's still there. And Boo Llewellyn.
I think
those are two guys that could be upset very easily.
I think he would need a really good draw to All-American.
Yeah, you know. I see a lot of upsets happening at this weight class, so you're going to have some unsuspecting guys wrestling in the blue. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's making the move from 141.
Yeah.
Going up a weight. Let's hope he shows up to wrestle. He pulls the ranked 12 in the nation. Not horrible. You know, he's right on the edge of that top 10.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like you said, there's not too many hammers at 149. You got your top three, which pretty much already solidified themselves.
149 is more of a weight class where you see guys win just, like, grinding out their matches. You don't see many guys putting up bonus points.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but, like, you see guys like Pat Lugo, Sammy Sasso, you would think would have a higher bonus point rate, but really does. If Brayton Lee is still here, he's still in the weight class, you know?
Yeah.
I think top five can basically go either way. I do think Caden Storrs is a little bit underrated, being that he moved up a weight and moved the ranking down just a little bit, honestly. I think he does make a push to get onto the podium. I think he takes seventh or eighth.
Hear me out, though. A sleeper for me at 149, Jared Verclaren.
I'm going to say this right now. I think Verclaren could All-American, too.
I 100% agree.
But I don't think he's a real sleeper pick, honestly.
I think
you guys just been on the scene, you know?
Yeah. He's kind of just
been. Did he get pinned by a dude from Nebraska, though? I remember he got pinned by a Nebraska dude.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, all I remember was he lost to Sasso by a point in overtime. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah, but you also have to realize he was never going to win that match. No matter how close it was. Yeah, so that's pretty much 149. You have him going to the blood round. You have him, same thing. I think he does crack the podium and gets that 7th, 8th match. I think that goes however way it does, but, you know, I think he does make the podium. So we'll just bump up to 157, where we have the 13th ranked wrestler in the country, Will Luan.
No, I think he will make a push for the podium. Luan, I definitely think he's going to place top 8 at Nationals. He was only a redshirt freshman last season, so he's still young. He's going to be a sophomore, then redshirt sophomore. Showed a lot of, like, good wrestling last year, so I definitely think he'll be – definitely get them bonus points in dual meets, and he'll make a push to the podium.
Okay, so what I'm going to say at this 157-pound weight class is everybody knows Deacon's the man. He's probably one of the most underrated number one guys in the country, in my opinion. You have him at number one. Just ranking-wise, you have guys like Kendall Coleman from Purdue, Aiden Hiley from NC State, Josh Humphries from Lehigh, Ja'Cory Teamer from Arizona State, David Carr from Iowa State. I think Caleb Young from Iowa does make a comeback. There's basically one more spot. I'm definitely missing somebody, you know. Who am I missing? Isn't there a guy from who's the Penn State 157?
Brady Berge. Not him.
Not him, no.
Let me check.
Oh, who's Ohio State, dude? There's definitely somebody who goes in
that. Elijah Cleary, but they, nah. Nebraska is 157. Bubba Wilson.
Who's the Rutgers guy? I think it might be him.
I don't have the Rutgers roster.
It's definitely some – oh, isn't it Fine Silver or something from Duke?
Yes.
It might be him, yeah. I think those guys are really solidifying themselves. Like, I think Will Luan's All-American material. I just don't think he makes it based on how tough the weight class is and how young they are, too. You know?
Yeah, that's
– I think Deacon wins at least one natty.
I think he could slip in, but you're right. That is going to be a tough one to
– I think really, you know, Deacon really – nobody really believed he could really do it until he knocked off James Green in that match.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy to watch. And then, yeah. He pretty much dominated his way through CKLV, where he showed that he deserved the number one ranking. Who did he knock off? Knocked off Ja'Cory Teamer, Derek Carr, and David Carr, and Hayden Hiley, 6-3, dominated him in the finals. I think Kendall Coleman shows up big. He was a true freshman last year from Purdue. He lost 14-0 to Deacon in the first match, and then he lost 7-4 Big Tens. And he got a takedown on Deacon. So I think he's a guy who comes up big.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Oh, who's the 157 from Arizona State? I think that's Ja'Cory Teamer.
Yeah.
Now, I'm tripping. There's definitely another guy at 157 I'm missing. But yeah, that's fine.
I can't think of who it is either.
It's definitely from from a random school. I'm pretty sure it's Fine Silver from Duke. Or the guy from Virginia Tech at 157.
Oh, actually, yeah. The one that beat what's his name?
Ty Lewis.
No, not that's 65.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know
who you're talking about though, yeah.
Yeah. I think Caleb Young's the guy who people are really gonna be counting out this year. Because didn't have the great season last year, you know? It basically started with him losing.
I think it's going to be a comeback year for him, though.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a guy to just sit down and just going to let his whole career go to crap there.
No.
I don't think anyone's going
to. But I do think Will LeJuan pretty much cruises into the blood round. But I think it just gets immediately shut down there, in my opinion, by his top guys. Maybe if he has a good draw, he can make maybe. That's a big maybe. He gets into 7th-8th match, but no higher than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
All right. We have a toss up here at 164.
65.
At 65, sorry.
So ranked number 20th, who's the starter we have on the list right now, is going to be Cameron Amin. But Flo just came out with a ranking preview today with Logan Massa returning from Olympic redshirt, ranked number 5. The guys he's ranked behind are basically undisputably top 4. There's nothing really around it. Logan Massa falls in top 5. Nobody's really close to them, right? You have number 1, Makai Lewis. Number 2, Alex Marinelli. Number 3, Shane Griffith from Stanford. And 4th, Evan Wick from Wisconsin. And you have Massa falling right behind them. So I think we'll go with Logan Massa, right? As our – just, like, talking about him first. Then we'll talk about Amin.
Yeah. Talking about both. You know, here.
Yeah.
I think either way Massa goes, he's going to be top 4 finisher.
What I'm going to say is I think him going at 174 and having Amin at 184 is going to be the most dominant path, because I think the only real guy at 174 is Michael Kemmerer. And in my opinion, Logan Massa beats him.
I think he could be a finalist at 74.
I think he wins 74. And I
he
think
is ranked number 2 at 174.
Yeah. I think Amin's a guy, if he makes it to nationals, he can very well break the podium. Cameron Amin at 165. Because only real guys are the top 4 guys. Now I see them; those could fall anyway, you know.
Yeah, I think looking at
Makai Lewis, I think beats Alex Marinelli. Alex Marinelli beats Evan Wick. Shane Griffith, I think, majors Alex Marinelli, in my opinion.
I think just looking at styles, if Massa was to wrestle 65, he would beat Evan Wick also.
Yeah, I know. That's a big toss-up. You know, if Wick gets on top, you know, you never know what happens. I think Wick can beat Marinelli this year. It's bound to happen once, you know?
Again, yeah. They're
Because Wick's coming off not the greatest season as last national tournament. He ended up pinning Chance Marsteller twice and losing him in the 3rd-4th match. And he lost to Makai Lewis also, who made the huge run for the podium, for the title, actually, you know? In my opinion, I have Shane Griffith winning. That's the guy who a lot of people were sleeping on, just my opinion.
I don't think
Makai Lewis had the greatest showing on the freestyle circuit. Well, Shane Griffith's been a guy who's been extremely consistent, right?
Yeah.
The state that was actually a New Jersey State final. Makai Lewis from Boundbrook and Shane Griffith was from Bergen Catholic, right? Yeah. Makai Lewis ended up beating him in the state finals. So Shane Griffith is a 3-time state champ. Makai Lewis beat him his junior year, you know. And then he came back to beat, you know, Rob Kennard from Rutgers. Again, the top 5 guy in the country, ended up dominating him 7-1, I think. So a guy who can put up points consistently, keep putting them up, has a solid, tough ride on top. He's not a guy you're going to catch in a big move like that, really. I think Marinelli can't get caught in that, and he has before. He got hit with that latch up against Vincenzo Joseph. I think Marinelli, if it's a close match, is in the other guy's favor, just in my opinion. And you saw him get hit with that splatel and got pinned against David McFadden, you know?
Yeah.
I think McFadden's at 65, right? Oh, Quincy Monday, dude, at 157.
Oh, that's – yeah, okay, from Prince.
Isn't Kenny Monday at 165, though? Yeah, Kenny Mundy from UNC is at 165. Yeah. I honestly think Kenny Mundy falls sixth. There's no real way around it. I don't think anybody really stands in his way, but he's like top guy right there, right?
Yeah.
But I think Cameron Amin can make a push for the podium. I think he lands anywhere between fifth and eighth, honestly. I think the top four solidify themselves away from the pack.
If Moss wrestles there, I'm thinking top four. If Amin wrestles there, anywhere from like low podium to just missing.
Yeah. I'm gonna take if Moss is there, he goes fifth. Just for the sole fact that I think Marinelli versus Evan Wicks is gonna be a third, fourth match. And I think it's Wicks' year, and Marinelli's rebounding off a tough loss. That's just my opinion, you know?
Yeah, I can see that too, yeah.
But either way, it's only one spot difference, but that one spot is going to mean a lot if you can push through for that one match.
I agree. I think it would benefit Michigan's lineup keeping Moss at 74.
Whoa. What I'm going to say is Moss has already beat Alex Marinelli to get to the Big Ten Finals against Chenzo. And those, I think that was an overtime match too. And he has wins over guys like Isaiah White also. So I think Masa actually making the national finals is possible if he has the right draw. He has Evan Wick in the quarterfinals and Alex Marinelli in the semis. He makes the finals.
That'd be the way, yeah.
But I think if he has Makai Lewis or Griffith, those guys' styles are just too technically refined.
I definitely don't think he'll beat Lewis.
Yeah.
All right, hear me out here from the lineup standpoint that I would like to see Masa stay at 74. Mm-hmm. I just think that would be better for the team having Amin at 65.
Gumi-wise, definitely.
Yeah.
But there's two ways to go about this. One is knowing that your competitors are – your main competitors for the title are going to be Cornell, Iowa, and Penn State, right?
Yeah.
And maybe Nebraska. Look at who's at 165. We have an Iowa guy in the top five in Alex Marinelli, right? But what other guys from those teams do you really have? Penn State has Jolie. And Cornell doesn't have anything at 165.
That's a good point.
But if they put him at 174, who do you have? You again, Michael Kemmerer. I think the Alex Marinelli problem will take care of itself, right? Somebody's going to take him out. I think Kemmerer cruises into the finals. I think Masa cruises into finals at 174, where I think Masa will take him out, and that's going to be huge for team points. But I don't see Cornell or Penn State with a guy at 170. Penn State does have a guy at 174 in Carter Sorochi, right? I think he gets taken out in the semifinals by one of them too, which is probably taking care of himself. And if he takes him out in the finals, right?
Yeah.
But 184, Miles Amin, that's where the points are going to be scored. You have got like Max Dean. You have got like Aaron Brooks. I think Max Dean versus Aaron Brooks will go down in the semis if they're 2 and 3 seed where they're ranked right now. I think it doesn't really matter who wins that. I think Miles Amin is going to win the title, right? I think him beating Aaron Brooks is going to be a decently dominant match. But him versus Max Dean is going to be more technically refined, a little more of a slugfest. But I think that Amin is going to come out on top. And Iowa does have Abe Assad there, who really is going to matter if he really gets into the All-American range or not, which I don't think he's been consistent enough to do. I think he's dropped. I think that's the one weight class where Iowa is kind of susceptible to stuff. Because you could see Nelson Brands there too.
Yeah, I think Assad from Iowa would have been an All-American.
We're just kind of all over the place right now, so we'll just talk about that 165 to 184 range because they're all really interchangeable. We could even see a meetup at 184 if we need to.
Yeah, so I don't really think Miles Amin's going to win the title. But there is a couple guys in that. Yeah, I think there is a couple guys in that bracket that – would be able to upset him, though, on the right day.
But you think he's going to win?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think this is Michigan's year, and I think Moss is going to win at 74. I think he does good at 165, but it's better to just throw in Cameron Amin, see what he does, really, because it's really no harm, no foul at that point, because I think he guaranteed wins a match, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not a guy who's going to get gassed or anything, but he's tough. He's insanely tough. He's going to keep matches close, not get
bumped. He won't give up bonus points, yep.
Yeah, again, you've seen that with Miles Amin too, against guys like Mark Hall going into overtime with them. Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to have it would be Amin at 165, possibly grabbing the All-American spot, maybe losing the blood round, but generating some team points. He could get a pin there, you know. Not a big, like, bonus point guys, but they can pin. Same with Logan Massa. I think if he's at 174, it's a toss-up between him and Kemmerer. I think if it comes down to it, like, one takedown match, I think it's Massa's match. And the same I'm going to say with Amin. But that's all going to depend. I think Amin guaranteed takes out Max Dean. But I think if Cameron Caffey has a very good season, he could be the one dangerous guy.
Yeah, because he's explosive.
And Taylor Venz, too, has, like, a perfect style against Miles Amin.
Yeah, they mismatch kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, so anything else about these three-weight classes? Or?
No, I agree with you 100% that they're interchangeable, though, that you can see anyone from any one of these weight classes at a different weight.
Yeah, 100%. So we'll just probably bump right up to 197, where we have a guy who I think was redshirted last season in Jelani Embry. He's ranked 23rd in the country. He actually wrestled at 184. Because of Jackson Strigo, 197. About this guy, I think he's really underranked, but he's also a little bit inconsistent from what I've seen from him. He's a guy who you can turn on top, you can hit with big moves, but I think if he's going to get a lot better at practicing guys like Amin, Paris, he's going to be able to get like a bunch of different types of guys coming at him, and which is going to help his technique and awareness a lot. I think he's a guy who's extremely athletic, right? Which you don't really have at that 197 weight class right now. You have a lot of bigger, stockier guys like Noah Adams, Pat Brucky, Jacob Warner. Cordella Norfleet's an athletic dude. You have guys like Chase Singletary coming down from heavyweight. And you have the guy who should be the front runner, Ben Darmstadt from Cornell. A little bit more of a funky dude. No, yeah.
I think he's going to hold his own. I think strength is going to be his biggest problem, especially coming up from 84.
From what I've seen from him.
Where he wasn't that strong then even. I think his speed is going to be key for him. Mm-hmm. He needs to create movement.
Yeah.
Especially going up the weight. He's not going to out-muscle anybody.
Yeah, because what I've seen from him really, that 197 – is like really a mess, honestly. Because last year you had Colin Moore basically define himself as number one. Nobody was beating him, in my opinion, right?
No.
Now you have number one Noah Adams, who I honestly don't even have placing in the top eight. You have Ben Darmstadt, the veteran, who didn't have the greatest season because I don't know why he would cut down to 184. It was just interesting to see. Like a 6'5", 184 just isn't the best thing. He was dropping matches like terrible kids, honestly, in my opinion. A guy like Cordell Norfleet was a sophomore coming on the scene. He scored 9 points on Colin Moore. He didn't win that match. He blasted through Kyle Connell. And that's where, like, people started to notice him a little bit. Guys are still really underrating him, though, from Arizona State. I think they're destined for a good season out of Valencia, Ja'Cory Teamer, Brandon Courtney, Colton Schultz, if he comes in, and Cordell Norfleet. Pat Brucky should be the guy this weight class that most people really think is going to win. He hasn't been doing the greatest. I really don't know what's up with that. Jacob Warner dropped a loss to Shakur Rashid, which, I mean, is a credible loss. Shakur's on and off, like, as far as you've seen him wrestle.
Yeah, he's kind of streaky here.
It's been, like, a big thing you've seen. And then the main story, in my opinion, is going to be Chase Singletary coming down from heavyweight who didn't start last year because he lost a spot to Gary Traub. Chase Singletary was around that 230 weight, but he wasn't like super shredded or anything where the cut's going to impact him. I think he's going to be a lean 197, and that's going to be his true weight class. I think he's probably the most technical guy in this weight class, in my opinion.
Yeah, again, for Michigan, I think this is another weight class where they might have a couple guys that they try to throw in there. Strigow, the other brother, Bobby was listed at 84 last year. He was a redshirt freshman. So I think he might be able to even jump in at 97. And if he's anything like his brother, make a little bit of noise.
Yeah, 100%. But based on what's happened in prior years, Jelani Embry should be the guy, you know?
Yeah.
I think if all does go right? I think the 197-pound bracket is going to be full of upsets, honestly. There's not going to be one defined guy, you know. You have your major guys, Brucky, Warner. Adams should be the guy. Like, I don't think any of this can turn out. You have Darmstadt in there, obviously. It really, honestly, could go any way. I think you have a couple guys moving down from heavyweight, except for Singletary. Could be a problem. A couple guys moving up from 84 because 197 really didn't have that defined guy. Because at 184, you had Aaron Brooks coming out the guy. At heavyweight, you obviously have Gable. I don't think many people are going to move up to heavyweight at this point in the season. I think Darmstadt was thinking about it, but, of course, they have Luis Fernandez coming in, who's going to be a stud in years to come, right? I think Jelani Embry, I think he's a blood-around guy, possibly an All-American. That might be putting a little bit too much on him, but I saw a lot of good things and a lot of potential out of him the last time.
I thought it was great. I think definitely pulls off – he'd have to pull off two upsets, I think.
Yeah. I think he does get seated around the 16 range.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy who's definitely upsettable. So if he goes up against a guy like Darmstadt, that's gonna be a problem for him. A guy like Darmstadt, a guy like Noah Adams.
Yeah.
A guy who's a lot strong. Pat Brucky is gonna be tough.
Yeah, he's not gonna be able to compete upper at all.
I think if he goes up against a guy who's physically dominant or a guy who's not afraid to go upper body, it's not gonna be his match. But if you can get a match where you can get his open shots, getting on the quick finishes he has, he's going to be extremely dominant.
Yeah, and I think
Kim versus Chase Singletary is going to be a very good matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely think Kim
versus Jacob Warner, maybe even.
Yeah, I definitely think he's going to need to use his speed because he's not going to be able to match a strength compared to Brocky or any of those other super, bigger guys at 97.
But it's just a weird weight class in general because you had Bo Nickel move up because he saw really an open weight class. Actually, he just didn't want to cut any weight, you know. Miles Martin and Colin Moore, basically the same thing. Yeah. The only difference is, why not wrestle a guy who you can just exploit more and he doesn't have the athleticism, then wrestle Miles Martin who does have the athleticism to take you down.
Yeah.
That's basically what he's seen because he just said he didn't cut any weight when I talked to him, right? It's just what it is. Like, why not enjoy your season a little bit more? Do what you want.
Yeah, true.
I'm going to have him placing 10th.
So blood round.
Yeah, blood round.
All right. I'm going to have him barely making the blood round.
Yeah, probably like mid-teens range.
Because he's a guy who could very well win like an overtime in the first round of the tournament and pin a guy like in the quarterfinals or something like that.
Yeah.
Because if he's a guy, like, he can hit those big moves, too. You just don't see it too often.
Well, yeah, usually when he's matched.
And, again, him wrestling guys like Mason Paris, Miles Amin, Logan Massa, who are insanely strong territorial guys, that's going to help him a lot.
Like, toughen him up a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, athleticism, I think, is going to help him get away from a lot of the lower-level guys. Because at the high level, you really see a lot of, like, these bulky guys. Some of them should be wrestling heavyweight. You know, I think Pat Brucky could definitely bump the heavyweight. It's really not worth it for him at this point.
I think he has, like, almost like a Derek White type of
– I think Brucky cuts over, like, 30-something pounds.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't see Brucky like, walking around at heavyweight.
If you bump up the heavyweight, you're just like, oh, you're just there. You're probably not even an All-American again. You know, he placed fourth at his last national tournament. But if he stays down at 197 after he's done with college, he wrestles at 97 kgs, which is 213.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That's, like, the perfect weight for him. Like, there's no need to go 275 in freestyle. Wrestle that weight. So, yeah.
I don't see Brucky casually walking around at 197. I feel like –
I think Brucky walks around like Derek White size, just cuts more. Because Derek White was insanely – he wasn't – you know what surprised me? He was not that strong as people think. He was extremely aggressive.
I think that had to do with the cut, actually, too. Yeah. I think that affected his strength a little bit.
Yeah, no, because people normally don't associate a guy like 197 cutting that much weight.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing that people really just fail to take into account. Jacob Warner, too, looks like an insanely big guy, too. I think Noah Adams was just a little bit smaller, and he was the guy who just took advantage of everybody else not having a great season. I don't think he comes back with that, in my opinion.
No.
Yeah. So let's just keep going. Of course, you have the man here. Guys, everybody really wants to see. Ranked second in the country right now, we have Mason Paris, the junior, the red shirt. Yeah.
Seven.
No, the true junior.
Yeah, if Mitic isn't the guy to talk about at Michigan, I think it'd be Paris.
Yeah.
He's pretty much another person that this team's going to run around. If he wins big matches, everybody else is going to win big matches.
Yeah. I actually have Paris placing fourth at Nationals. I know a lot of guys, like, again, I've been – we might even do a separate video diving into depth about the Mason Paris versus Tony Cacioppo match, like, right after this. You know, you should do that.
Continue.
I know you want to do that, though, you know. Because, like, everybody comes at me, like, I make the list. I had Gable Steveson first. I think there's no way you can really put anybody ahead of him until you see guys like Kirk that come into the field. Like, once Kirk gets into college, if he's having a great season, you can't really put anybody above Gable. Yeah. You know, if Gable beats Paris 5-4 or something like that, and Kirk comes out there and pins Paris, doesn't mean you can put Kirk against Gable. Because I think Gable's the one guy who has, like, real technique in the field. I think Mason Paris is more of, like, a one-move guy you've seen, a guy who relied on bodying guys. He made a bulk from about 230 to, I think, about 255, 260.
Yeah, he wrestles a lot of matches closer than they need to be, I think, too.
Yeah. I think if the dump doesn't work, you basically shut him down. Against a guy like Tony, I just think kind of exploited, like, his – like, it just looked like that match wasn't wrestled technically at all. It was just a sloppy match, in my opinion.
No, all around, yeah.
Because how often do you see, like, a guy like Tony, I think he's too good to be hitting with that dump, you know?
Yeah.
I think if he – because I think he thought he could muscle his way out of the dump, which he just couldn't, because that's what it looked like he tried to do. Because Paris wasn't able to hit on guys like Gable – guys like Hilger, guys even like who's even in the – just like some other guys. You've seen guys being immune to the dump, right? He either muscles you with the dump or he hits the speed on you with it. And a guy like Cassiope should not be able to get muscled with that dump. I don't think he does ever again.
I don't think so either. I think he learns from it and will come back.
Cassiope's a lot more of a cerebral wrestler than Paris. I think if Paris can get that down, Paris, I think the reason that dump worked is because who's Mason Paris in practice? Paris practicing with all the time. Adam Kuhn. Adam Kuhn's an insanely large dude. You didn't really see his him being exploited in freestyle till this year, you know. I think he's cutting too much weight for freestyle. That extra 10 pounds might take a toll on him. He's coming from like 3'5", 3'10". Yeah. I think you mainly just see him in Greco because he has to worry about Colton Schultz, you know. I think Mace Paris going against Tony Cacioppo and going right back to that. He has a snatch single and then he hits a Russian spin on him. You know, how often do you see that? You know, I get people use that as defense. I think Paris can use it again, but I don't think he converts into 2 points of his own.
Yeah.
And the reverse ankle pick, that's insanely athletic move. But the only difference is, it's like, do you see that coming? Now what Cassiope knows, he has it in his arsenal. And all you do is get your leg back, right? And then you can lock up that cradle right there. And then getting caught in a Turk, you know, everybody gets caught on their back once in a while. Happens. Guys like Gable have been pinned. Kirk's been pinned. Everybody's been pinned. Like, once he's on his back, a guy as strong as Mason Paris is not going to let you up.
No.
And it was just based on if he could wait out the clock at that point, you know? I think this match really could go either way. I think it's going to be a third-place match in Nationals.
I think
the momentum is going to be leaning towards Cassiope just a little bit more to get revenge for last time.
If he doesn't wrestle sloppy, he'll make the finals.
Because I think that should have happened in the Big Ten semis, but you know Paris pulled the one seed because he didn't wrestle Gable.
Yeah,
so that happens. Yeah, Gable I think is gonna undisputably be the best guy in this weight class right here for the time being.
I think so too.
Time being,
until we see anybody even like look like they might be competitive, I don't think it's even like able to talk about.
I think Trent Hoger's gonna be the most technical heavyweight. But if you put him against Gable, it's just not a good style matchup for him, you know? You think Hilger would be able to get something going on top, and then Gable reversed him, like, immediately. So I think Hilger's a guy who could take out Paris or Cassiope, but I don't think he's a guy who could take out Gable or Kirk Fliett. Kirk Fliett's ranked 16th. I think that's a total BS ranking, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he's ranked where he should be right now until he gets those collegiate wins, right? Because, again, a guy like Cassiope was ranked, like, around 16 to 20, right? Until he had that big win over Hilger, who was ranked second at that point. where he just immediately moves up to second until he lost to Paris.
I think this bracket is another one of those that it's going to depend on, like, the 2, 3, 4, and 5 seeds. Like, wherever they go, that's going to
100%
work out.
I think has technique up to the standard of Gable Steveson. I've seen Kirk. He's a very strong dude. He's benching around 400-something pounds. He's put in a lot of muscle. He has the frame to carry 270 and be like in 285 maybe even and be extremely athletic, you know?
Yeah.
And if he gets on top of Gable, I don't know. And he's very good on top.
Fun to watch.
We have to talk about how Gable's transformed too. He went from
100%.
A guy you saw to, you know, in that the season where he lost to Kassar in the Big Ten final. Yeah.
You know, what doesn't make sense to me is
he was big. He had a belly on him. He looked like he was sort of out of shape, but obviously not for him because he looked like that all high school. But then you look at him now, he looks shredded. He looks 100%. Like he's been putting in so much work.
And again, you have to realize guys are still getting older. Guys' bodies are still maturing, right?
Yeah, we talked about this when we talked about Jordan Woods, how the weight class is almost growing away from him.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I think Jordan Woods still makes a push for the All-American, still makes a valiant effort.
Oh, yeah, I think so,
but
too.
Another two guys I think we're sleeping on from the EIWA are Yaroslav Slavkowski from Harvard. Not many guys know of him. Plays fourth in Midlands. Again, these could be guys. I don't think they're going to take out Gable or Kirk. I think those guys are going to be solidified as the top two. Not right now, but they're going to be the top two undisputedly. But those matches go either way, right? I think Cassiope and Paris are guys that are upsettable. I think he's a guy who could come through. Luis Fernandez from Cornell, a guy who's made amazing progress every year. His junior year of high school, he was a 220 who bumped up away from two nationally ranked kids at the 220 weight class. Ended up chin whipping and pinning a kid in the state finals, a heavyweight. He was already winning like 7-0. Amazing with the legs on top. He was a 170 his freshman year of high school, just going based off of that. And he's about 270, just as lean now. He's extremely quick on his feet, amazing on top with legs. And that's a bigger transition I think we're seeing now too, right? Is the leg riding a heavyweight. You see guys like Kirk is doing it, that's his thing. Hilger, that's his thing. And Fernandez, that's his thing. Three guys who I think are going to make the All-American, right? I think this weight class is going to start to come down if you can get out from bottom on guys. Or you can just not let guys put the legs in, which requires a lot of good technique with that, right? That's why I see Paris being a little bit iffy on these bigger guys who are also are as athletic as him and that have as good technique. So I don't know if Paris takes fourth. That's my opinion. Because guys like Gable, Kirk, Cassiope have showed their ability to get out from bottom.
Colin Schultz.
Like I said, it's just going to really depend on where they get seated. At
the 100%. I think if Colton Schultz comes into the weight class, he takes third. That's my opinion. And a guy like Matt Stenzel, you can't sleep on, right? I think if he makes some technical adjustments, I think he's up there and he can take out Mason Paris also. I think Mason Paris is going to be put in a Jordan Woods scenario too. I think the weight class is starting to grow away from him too. If he can put his take – because you also have to realize he doesn't have the most athletic training partner to practice with. Of course, Adam Kuhn's a stud, right?
Yeah.
It's just – I don't think the styles like he's really fits in too well. He just dominated guys physically. And the weight class just getting better and better every year at the collegiate level.
And I think we saw that when we saw guys like Stoll and Jensen wrestle, who were kind of wrestling the same way as Kuhn was, where they were just big guys and they were just
– Yeah, no, but think about Jensen. Like, Jensen can get on his leg attacks too.
Yeah, Jensen
– Damn Stoll, if you looked at him his freshman year, he was a beast, dude. Like, him, Adam Kuhn, he dominated guys with that 2-on-1 body locks and all that. But then when you got – they became a little bit less effective because you see guys like Gable, a guy gets a body lock, and he just shrugs it by and hits, like, that boot scoot on them.
Yeah.
My final thing is I'm going to still have Mason Paris placing fourth because I don't think any of the guys I said that could upset him are necessarily going to do it. I might change that going into the season – depending on how I see guys wrestle, how I see like Paris's weaknesses and his strengths performing really well. I don't think that dump has been less and less effective every time Paris has wrestled, as we've seen, right? Yeah, as it should be, right? Because his first match, he wrestled obviously Mar Desi, who was ranked number one in the country coming into that year, highest returning All-American, and dominated him with that dump and won 11-4. That's where like, all the hype started. And then he ends up losing to Sam Stoll in the round of 32, which, I mean, that's a credible loss. Stoll just didn't – Stoll was on and off all the time, right? And then what really shocked me is him getting pinned in the blood round by Matt Stenzel in a cradle. He took a bad shot. Stenzel locked up a near side cradle and stuck him in the first period. I think Paris's improvement hasn't been technique, though. It's been more strength and to be able to body guys.
Yeah.
Gable didn't beat him on strength. Gable beat him on technique.
That's what he wants to do.
Yeah. I just think that becomes less and less effective. I still think Mason Paris is going to be an All-American next year. 100%. In senior year, though, it might grow past him, in my opinion.
100% Mason Paris is an All-American here. I have him placing anywhere from 2 to 8. I don't think he beats Gable, being that Gable solidifies himself as the champ, other than depending on how these freshmen do.
Yeah, I think even Tony Cassioba can make a push. And I'm saying that for the sole reason that Tony's technical positions, you know?
I think Tony beats Gable if they wrestle again.
I'm not going to say that for the sole fact that that match has happened many times in the past. Like, those are two big freestyle dudes, and Gable has dominated them every time.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's a good match for Tony. But Tony's building into his body very well. For some coming out of high school, he was more of a sloppy dude. Like, you know, he would still win these tournaments. Again, the guy like Seth Nevels, like, I think if Nevels gets his body straightened out, you know, wherever he goes, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
If he leaves Penn State, no one knows if he leaves Penn State.
I think Nevels is like, okay, I'm just here. I lost my spot to a guy. It's my last season. I'm just gonna might as well have fun, you know. I'm still going to the international circuit. Why not? I just got married too. Like you know, he's having a whole family. He's about to settle down.
Yeah, now they're having a kid.
And why not be in the same club as your brother? You know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You could see Seth Nevels maybe move to like Penn or something, or Lehigh.
Seth Nevels to Lehigh would not be a bad move, honestly.
Yeah, I think if he has the grades to get into Penn. No, Ivy League schools throw out scholarships like that, honestly, for stud athletes. So, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I think.
Final pick, I have Mason Paris going fourth.
He's an All-American. Joey?
Yeah, I think depending on where he's seated, he could make the finals or he could drop all the way. I don't see him going anywhere lower than fifth, though.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are on that Mason Paris hype, but they fail to look at things like from the technical perspective, other guys do well, too, right?
Watching him wrestle, I just see a lot of times where he just doesn't look like – I don't think he's comfortable in – these certain positions, and then
he just panics. Puts himself in bad scenarios, like
for no reason. And then he panics, and it doesn't usually go too well. If he's able to get over that, I think he can definitely runner up, though.
I think there's a shot he wins a national title, you know?
Yeah.
You never know.
Gable Stevenson is a monster. He would have to, he very well could do it, but I don't know if it's his year, though.
100%. The main thing I found out is, as far as you know, he was a big football recruit coming out of high school, right? He was a four-time wrestling state champ. I'm pretty sure he might have pinned Colton Schultz. That's a big maybe at 220. I think he might have at 220.
I think he might have also.
I know one of them pinned each other.
I think Schultz pinned him.
Oh, Schultz pinned him when he went for five. I'm scared. Yeah. I was tripping. My bad.
Yeah, he. In high school, Mason Paris was 6'3", 230-pound middle linebacker. He wrestled at the
220 weight class. And what I'm going to say is what I found out is that Mason – he wrestled in Indiana, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
His freshman year was his first year he'd wrestled year-round. He never really went to a real club or anything like that. And I think that's why we saw such a big of a jump in him, you know?
Yeah.
I think we still see a jump in him next year. It's just – not as big, you know, because he's already building on top of – he already has, like, those beginner gains, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like sort of like that. I think he's still going to be a top 5 guy pretty much every year left of his career.
Yeah.
We may see him use a red shirt in maybe before senior year or something.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. The weight class is getting tougher and tougher. I think that's why we saw – because Colton Schultz used his Olympic red shirt last year. I think he's using normal redshirt this year. And basically, he's playing the smart game, right? He's trying to outlast the weight class.
Yeah, which he's trying to do. I don't blame him.
Yeah. Because why not come in as a freshman while Gable's a senior, you know?
Exactly.
You already have a win over Nevels. You already have a win over Paris. That doesn't matter to you. Mm-hmm. Kirk Via versus you is going to be a toss-up. I think it's possible that Kirk dominates and majors him or Schultz pins him. Like,
either way, yeah.
Because Schultz is a big thrower, too. He does it very high percentage. I think Schultz might make the Olympic team, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. You
can see, Schultz, again, is a guy who's gotten extremely better. He's made the bump from 220, put on a lot of weight. Now that he can just refine that, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, honestly, I think let's just go over one more time. As a team, I have Michigan being my NCAA team champs.
I think they're going to be my champs too. I think them versus Cornell could go either way, but I think those have solidified themselves as the top two teams coming into this season. They all have a bunch of wild cards, I think.
Yeah.
I think the main guys that need to place high or win are going to be Stefan Micic, Logan Massa, Miles Amin, Jelani Embry is going to need to place. Cameron Amin is going to need to place. Mason Perry is going to need to place top three.
And then I also think they're going to have to get either Storr or Lawan on the stand.
I think Kaden Storr is going to be the guy for that. I think they're going to need to get all 10 qualified, though. That's going to be the problem.
Yeah.
And then that's a lot easier said than done in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think they very well can get all 10 qualified.
Yeah, I think that's where they're just going to be put a little bit above Cornell. Because I think Cornell, Max Dean can win the title, you know. Ben Darmstadt can win the title. Yanni's is supposed to win the title. Vito could make a huge push, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't see Cornell getting all of them qualified. Because especially the EIWA is going to get less bids at certain weight classes that the Big Ten would, even if the weight classes are strength-wise the same. So I think Cornell brings 6 to 7 guys to Nationals, honestly. But I think Michigan is capable of bringing all 10, but I think they bring 9. And either Cole Matten or Jack Medley don't make it.
I think if Michigan brings 10, there's no doubt they're taken. No doubt.
Yeah. You know, but, you can never count Iowa without anymore.
Yeah, I know.
And Penn State, too. Because you never know, Carter Storoci could very well win the national title.
Kirk can, Storoci can, Lee, Roman Bravo Young, Robert Howard could shock some people. You know,
I think Robert Howard's a guy. He's a boomer bust guy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think now, like, again, Gerard Verclearing, even Brady Birdie, Joe Lee.
Yeah. I think Verclearing. He's a
184. Aaron Brooks, dude.
Yeah, Aaron Brooks.
He can win the title. 197. Where? Who? 197.
Michael Beard.
Michael Beard can place top three, you know?
Yeah.
I think Michael Beard's a guy who's shown consistency at a weight class that hasn't been consistent. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
just start wrapping it up.
So
thanks for listening, guys. If you got this far, this has been our Michigan 2020-2021 preview. I think all three of us have Michigan placing first. Cornell is going to be a close second, and be sure to hit that like button and subscribe if you're listening on Spotify. We're on Spotify now. Thank you for listening on that. We appreciate it. And
Joey, thank you for coming on. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Thank you, Joey, for coming. All right. That's been it. Peace, guys.